Welcome to the Reversing Diabetes Podcast with Delaine, ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello and welcome to the podcast. You are listening to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine, MD, podcast episode number 123. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. If you are looking for strategies to live a naturally healthy life, you are in the right place. Today, we are going to talk about insulin resistance. I love this topic, but I think it's really complicated. So I'm going to take it slow, which is hard for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to slow it down and explain insulin resistance because it is truly at the heart of fixing type 2 diabetes. Before I get started, I want to make sure that you know to follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Any of my free sessions, so I've been doing a free 5-day session pretty frequently. I'm not going to do it through the month of December with the holidays. Everybody's busy. I will be starting that back up in the new year, but I am going to be doing some 1-hour sessions throughout the month of December to teach folks how they can enjoy the holidays and maintain their health. Such a big deal. So many women believe that they have to not enjoy the holidays if they're going to be healthy, and that's just not the case. So I will be teaching sessions throughout the month of December to show women how they can be healthy and enjoy the holiday. So follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. Make sure you're hitting subscribe on this podcast so you get notified whenever a new podcast drops and you have all of the information so that you can learn how to live this naturally healthy life. So today we're going to explain insulin resistance. I think so frequently women believe that their diabetes is just something that's happened to them. I frequently hear, you know, my doctor said this is genetic, or it runs in my family, or there's something wrong with my body and this happened. Or the other thing that I hear from women is the meds are just going to help me until I can fix this, until I can get this under control. And of course, what they don't realize is all of this keeps them sick. It keeps you stuck and sick. Your doctor will tell you it's genetic, but what I want to offer you is, yes, it's genetic to all of the human beings, not you specifically. There is nothing wrong with your genes. Any human being that eats the foods that lead to diabetes, to type 2 diabetes, all of the humans have the genetic predisposition for this. Type 2 diabetes is a physiologic response to eating foods that are not meant for a human being to eat on a regular basis. That's why we developed type 2 diabetes. That's why diabetes is such an epidemic in this country, because we're all eating the same things. The family, right? It comes in my family. It runs in my family. I get this from my family. And what I always offer to people is, no, my love for apple pie, that is what I got from my family. I didn't get a gene from my family. I got my love for crappy food from my family. Of course, if I eat like my family ate and the way that they were eating led to type 2 diabetes, it makes tons of sense that if I eat that way, I'm also going to get type 2 diabetes. And it's not because of genetic predisposition. It is due to the fact that human beings aren't meant to eat this way. All of the humans are genetically predisposed to development of type 2 diabetes because we eat foods that we're not meant to eat. So the reason all of this occurs is because of insulin resistance. I know I've talked about this in previous episodes in the past, but sometimes revisiting things repeatedly creates this deeper understanding that I think is really important. Maybe it's because the foundation in the previous episodes has created a better understanding. Maybe my ability to explain it has become more proficient. Either way, I think that it really helps. So we're going to dig into it. Understand first things first. Insulin resistance is the heart of type 2 diabetes. It is the reason you have type 2 diabetes. And fixing insulin resistance is the cornerstone to fixing your type 2 diabetes. This is not intuitive. It's not discussed by nutritionists. It's not discussed by dietitians. Your doctor is not going to discuss this with you. In the healthcare system in America, they are going to talk about blood sugars. They're going to talk about avoiding sugar. They're going to talk about avoiding sugary drinks. They're going to talk about avoiding potatoes and snack foods. They're going to talk about avoiding fruit. And if you want to get me really fiery, let's talk about that because nobody got diabetic because of the banana problem. Diabetes is not because of the fruit that the earth grows. Diabetes occurs because of all the foods that are not from the earth that the human beings are eating. Dietitians will tell you that some rice is okay, some bread is okay, some crackers are okay, some pasta is okay, some pizza is okay, some muffins are okay, but fruit, that's not okay. It doesn't even make sense. So the reason that these guidelines and suggestions are made is because they are focused entirely on your blood sugars. The reason this does not work to fix your diabetes is because diabetes is not caused by too much sugar, but instead it's caused by too much insulin in your system. And this is why it's so confusing for us to figure out how to fix this. High blood sugars are a result of insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is caused by too much insulin in your system. And too much insulin develops from the foods that we are eating. So when you think about it that way, yes, the foods that we are eating is causing the insulin resistance. And the insulin resistance is what leads to the high blood sugars. But just saying it's because the food that we're eating is causing the high blood sugar skips an entire part of the solution, the main part of the solution. High blood sugars are actually symptoms of something way more sinister happening inside of your body. By the time the blood sugars are picked up, the elevated blood sugars are picked up on your lab findings by your medical provider, you have been under the negative effect of insulin resistance for quite some time. This is really important to hear because so many women think that as long as their blood sugars are normal, they are healthy. There are air quotes. Quote unquote healthy. And what I want you to know is as long as your insulin levels are elevated, you are not healthy. I would like nothing more than for all of the world to understand that by the time blood sugars are elevated, by the time high blood sugars have developed, you have been under the effects of too much insulin for far too long. So, what is the problem with this? Too much insulin, remember, this causes the insulin resistance. But insulin resistance causes a whole slew of diseases. And I'm going to run through many of them here. Recognize this is not an all-inclusive list. So, what does insulin resistance cause? Number one, diabetes. Yeah, we know that. That's a no-brainer. If you're listening to this podcast, you know this already. You just heard me talk about it. And if you've listened to any of the previous episodes, you understand your diabetes is related to your insulin resistance. But in addition to diabetes, insulin resistance also is related to high blood pressure, causing high blood pressure by creating alterations in the way that our kidneys take up sodium, as well as changes in the activation of our fight or flight nervous system, so our sympathetic nervous system. I found a report way back from 1993. I found another report from 2014 and another one in 2015. Many, many studies correlate insulin resistance as a causative factor in high blood pressure. In addition to high blood pressure, it also causes inflammation in your body. Insulin alone, there's lots of studies out here, and it was shocking to me when I came across these. Insulin alone is anti-inflammatory, meaning that it undoes inflammation. However, when you've had so much insulin in your body that you develop insulin resistance actually is inflammatory in nature. Too much insulin causes the insulin resistance, and that leads to the inflammation. There was a study in 2013, a study in 2020 that I personally reviewed, in addition to many other studies. Insulin resistance also leads to obesity. By the way, obesity also leads to inflammation. Recognize that obesity develops from having too much insulin in your system. Insulin is the mechanism which leads your body to storing up excess adipose tissue. Adipose tissue is fat tissue. I don't like that word, so I choose to use the word adipose. But recognize too much adipose tissue on our body leads to obesity. This is why we frequently see obesity and diabetes go hand in hand. Although there is a growing population of normal weight diabetics in America, most diabetics are going to have obesity as well because of the insulin connection. Insulin leads to the storage of energy in the form of adipose tissue, and that's what leads to the obesity. So too much insulin and insulin resistance definitely leads to obesity. Insulin resistance also leads to liver disease. The effect of insulin on the liver causes damage to the liver, leading to elevated liver enzymes. This has been reported in numerous different studies. Low testosterone, seen in a 2008, 2009, and 2016 study that I have come across, insulin resistance is directly tied to low testosterone. Insulin resistance is one of the primary causes of polycystic ovarian syndrome in women, which is highly associated with infertility and irregular periods. This was documented, I found a study from 1997. There's another one in 2001, 2006. There are many, many other studies. In fact, one of the primary medications that we use in the healthcare system to treat polycystic ovarian syndrome is metformin. Metformin is also the number one thing that we use to treat type 2 diabetes. So it makes sense that those things are probably caused by the same mechanism, and that mechanism is insulin resistance. And then insulin resistance also is significantly correlated with the development of dementia. There is a physician, he's actually an MD PhD. His name is Dale Bredesen, and he has a book called The End of Alzheimer's that was released in 2017, and he repeatedly discusses the association of insulin resistance as a key factor in the development of dementia. So recognize when I'm talking about insulin resistance, when your insulin resistance has come so far that we are seeing elevated blood sugars, recognize you are putting yourself at risk for all of these other diseases and more because of the insulin resistance, not the blood sugars. The insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is the underlying disease. The blood sugar is a symptom of it. The blood pressure is a symptom of it. The inflammation, the obesity, the liver disease, the low testosterone, the polycystic ovarian syndrome, dementia is a symptom of the insulin resistance. Too much insulin in your system and insulin resistance is the problem. And that is what I want to describe today. So, what is insulin resistance? Insulin resistance is when your cells are resistant to responding to insulin. As I say that seems like a no-brainer. What is resistant? What do I mean by resistant? Well, per the dictionary, resistant means to withstand the action or effect of. And that's exactly what insulin resistance is. It is your cells withstanding the effect or action of insulin. So, what is the effect or action of insulin? Well, its role in your body is to lower your blood sugars. That's what we think of immediately. But it's not just lowering your blood sugars. Recognize that insulin lowers your blood sugars by moving the glucose from the outside of the cell to the inside of the cell. When you've developed insulin resistance, it means that your cells withstand the action of lowering those blood sugars, of moving the blood sugar from outside of your cell to the inside of your cell. So how insulin normally works is it binds to a receptor on the walls of your cells that then transports glucose or sugar from the outside of the cell to the inside of the cell. Your cells do that in order for them to use the glucose as fuel for the machinery of the cell. So recognize the cells have little machines. Machines is probably a ridiculous term. What we call them in science are organelles. These organelles, they do things. They make proteins, they make enzymes, they detoxify the cell, they degrade things like viruses or bacteria. If it's a muscle cell or a neuron, they're moving or they're creating electrical currents. There's tons of things that are going on inside of your cell at all times. There are tons of things that are going on inside of your cells at all times. When your cells have become exposed to too much insulin, they stop responding to the insulin. So the insulin no longer has the effect on that receptor on the cell wall that opens up that cell wall and allows the glucose to move from the outside of your cell to the inside of your cell. So this allows the blood sugars outside of your cells to climb quite high. So glucose, again, it can exist clearly outside and inside the cell. That's what we're describing here, right? Inside the cell, it's used as energy. We've talked about that for the little organelles of the cell, the muscle fibers, the neurons, all of those things. But when glucose is outside of the cell, it runs around the body, offering itself as energy. However, when there's too much glucose outside of the cell, it actually builds up to a point that it becomes toxic. I like to think of this as an analogy of like if I have fuel for my car in my garage outside of my car, it's a little bit dangerous to keep loads of gasoline in my garage outside of my car waiting to be used. It becomes toxic, it's dangerous. It's the same thing with the glucose. If the glucose is running around your body and there's too much of it outside of the cells, it becomes toxic. So recognize I want to clear up something because sometimes there's confusion about what quote unquote glucose is. When we eat food, what counts as glucose is different from what many people think it might be. Many people are very clear that glucose is sugars, but sometimes they get confused and they think it's just the sugars. But many of our food substances have glucose as their building blocks. So flour breaks down to glucose, corn breaks down to glucose, molasses breaks down to glucose, oatmeal, grits, potatoes, all of these things break down to glucose. Even proteins can be converted in the liver to glucose. So it's not just the candy. It's not just the breads, the tortillas, the crackers, the cookies, the potato chips, the French fries, Bakos. Heck, Bakos brand bacon bits. They're actually flour with salt and sugar and God only knows what else, right? They break down into glucose, of course. So when you're eating these things, your body breaks them down into their base of glucose, and that glucose causes your body then to produce a lot of insulin. Why? Because your body only knows to move the glucose inside of the cell. That's what the body wants to do. So if there's tons of glucose floating around, your body is going to respond to tons of glucose floating around by making more insulin. So when the cells become overexposed to the insulin, they get overwhelmed and they stop responding. They stop responding to the message of the insulin, and this allows the glucose on the outside of your cells to climb quite high. Remember, high glucose in our body is toxic to our cells and our tissues, kind of like too much gasoline in your garage. So, the toxic effect of glucose is actually what causes strokes and heart disease and kidney disease and blindness and neuropathy and all of the things that we know are associated with type 2 diabetes. Your body really, really, really wants to avoid this toxic effect of glucose. So, your pancreas, which is the organ that makes the insulin, starts spitting out more and more and more insulin. And this ever-increasing amount of insulin that's trying to overcome the cell's resistance to the insulin leads to more insulin resistance as it's trying to keep your blood sugars outside of that toxic range. And over time, as our pancreas makes more and more insulin to overcome that resistance, it creates worsening of the insulin resistance until eventually our pancreas cannot keep up anymore. And that is what allows those blood sugars to climb into that toxic range. So, what you can see is insulin resistance is there for quite some time before the development of the high blood sugars. And that's what's so important to see here. When they climb quite high and finally the insulin resistance can't be overcome by your pancreas spitting out more insulin, when that happens, that's what allows those blood sugars to climb quite high. That's what your doctor picks up. Okay? So for possibly, I mean, some studies have reported this as up to a decade prior to the blood sugars being picked up on your labs, you have had insulin resistance in your system. You've been under the effect of insulin resistance and too much insulin in your system for up to 10 years prior to those blood sugars being high. So, the best analogy I have for how to explain this insulin resistance, in case it doesn't make sense, and recognize you're not the only one. I went to school for a decade, so this stuff would make sense to me. Recognize this is it's counterintuitive. It's not what you see your physicians and your medical providers and the healthcare system looking for. So, it doesn't make sense. So, I like to use a very simple analogy. I like to Think about noise and how our ears manage noise. So recognize noise is created by sound waves. They're waves that move through the air and they cause small bones inside of our ears to move. Clearly, I'm simplifying the hearing apparatus here. It's actually a very fascinating apparatus. The biology and the science of our hearing and our equilibrium is really fascinating. It's really a shame not to go into it in its entirety, but I really want to keep it simple here, so I'm resisting that urge. So the small bones have itty-bitty little muscles that are attached to them, and they move in a way that creates movements in the cells in our cochlea in the inner ear. And that creates a neurochemical message that goes through our auditory nerve into our brain, and our brain decodes those sound waves into messages that we understand. Somebody calling our name, our kids calling us, a siren from behind us. All of those things happen. There's sound waves, there's effect on the bones and the muscles of the inner ear. Those get transmitted to the cochlea. The cochlea has cells that then get transmitted to the auditory nerve. The auditory nerve carries this neurochemical information to our brain, and our brain decodes it. That's how hearing works. If you think about what happens when our ears get overexposed to noise, like at a loud rock concert, the overexposure to the sound waves, there's too much sound waves and they're too loud, causes those muscles, those little muscles attached to the bones, to be stunned. It overstimulates them and it stuns them, which then keeps them from moving as they normally would, and it creates what our brain perceives as a muffled noise. So somebody can yell loud at you to get a message to you, your brain will pick that up. However, your ears are not as sensitive after the overexposure as they would have been without the overexposure. Your ears will not receive the message coming from subtle noises the way they typically would. So the solution to the hearing issue is to give your ears a break from the noise. This is actually the same solution to the insulin resistance issue, is to give your cells a break from the insulin. So if your ears were overexposed to noise at a rock concert, you go home from the rock concert and you sleep in a quiet room. You sit in your quiet house. You spend some time without the stimulating effect of the sound waves on your hearing apparatus, and that allows it to recover. It allows it to heal. And then it starts responding to sound waves or noise normally. This is how you fix your insulin resistance. You give your cells a break from insulin. That allows the cells to then start responding to the insulin the way they normally would, opening up and bringing the glucose in. So, how do you give your cells a break from insulin? Remember, insulin resistance is caused by too much insulin in your system, and the food we eat is causing us to make too much insulin. So to fix the insulin resistance, you have to change the way you eat. That is what I help people do. That's what I help women do in my 6-month program. I help them learn to eat in a way that reverses that insulin resistance in their cells. So does that mean that all carbohydrates are bad? Is every wheat thin horrible? No. But even sunshine burns if you get too much. That's actually a line from a poem that I read when I was in high school. I think it's called Comes the Dawn. Even sunshine burns if you get too much. Everything, noise, wheat thins, sunshine, can cause problems if you get too much. And that's where we go wrong in America, right? Like the average American diet, what we call in the functional medicine field, we call it the standard American diet, or SAD, SAD. The standard American diet is so heavy on processed foods and carbohydrates that it's leading to us all developing insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes and these other things that insulin resistance will cause that I went through in the beginning of the podcast. So recognize again, this is the work that I do with my clients. If you are a woman with type 2 diabetes and you want to reverse it, come off your medications. Recognize this is totally possible for you. In fact, it's not just possible, it's basic biology. Your body, left to its own devices, will default to fixing this if we stop doing things to offend our body. Recognize nothing is wrong with you as a human being if you cannot stop eating the Oreos. The Oreos manufacturing, the companies that I can't remember which food manufacturer makes Oreos, but recognize they know. They exploit the neurochemistry that occurs when you eat Oreos so that you want them all the time. Nothing is wrong with you. You are not broken. You are not faulty. You are a perfectly normal human being that responds to these highly processed, addictive foods the way a human being does. You don't need me to tell you to stop eating Oreos. You know that. What you need is somebody to help you get through that part where you feel so compelled to eat foods that are making you sick and cutting years off your life. And that's what I help women do. If that's something you're interested in, definitely send me a message, Delaine@DelaineMD.com. Check out my website, DelaineMD.com. Tons of free opportunities there for you to get this help. Check out my Facebook, check out my Instagram, follow me in those places so you can see when my next free session is so that you can get this help and finally put this struggle that you're having with the foods that you're eating that are creating health problems that you really don't want. You can finally put this behind you and start living a naturally healthy life on your terms. I hope you found this helpful. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.